As we head into our sermon time here, we're going to really begin with the beginning part of our gospel lesson. I know that many times the passage in John here about Thomas and what a significant passage that is, where Thomas insists that he won't believe, and Jesus comes before them a week later and offers, you know, for Thomas to touch him, and Thomas makes that great confession of faith there. That is often, but that's not the passage that I'm going to focus on here today. What I want to focus on, as I mentioned in Sunday school, I almost titled this The Church on the Way, because we are going to talk about the church today, the Church of Jesus Christ, and how it relates to Oakwood. Well, we can apply that in a variety of different ways, but belonging to a church, belonging to the Church of Jesus Christ, puts you in a special membership. I'm going to talk a little bit about membership today. Membership in the sense of the title of our sermon being about AAA. How many people know what AAA is? Who knows? Who's ever heard of AAA, right? The American Automotive Association, right? You have to be a member. They'll come and they'll do all kinds of roadside assistance to get you started and get you back on the way. So we're going to talk a little bit about membership. But if you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, that puts you in a most incredible and the most dynamic entity in the history of the world. You're in a good place if you're a member of the universal Church of Jesus Christ. Getting His Church Started is our title. Getting His Church Started with the original AAA. John chapter 20, let's read this passage, these opening verses here. Then the same day, at evening, by the way, this is going to be Easter Sunday. We left off last week on verse 18. Same day, at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and he stood in the midst, and he said unto them, "Peace be unto you," and when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you." Here we go. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted." He talked about judgment in Sunday school, about being a conscience for the nation. What awesome responsibility we have. You know, this idea, I'm going away from my notes already, but this idea here that, you know what, when we're dealing with someone and we're not confronting them with the truth, if we are remitting their sins or repeating their sins, that has incredible consequences. Incredible consequences for them and for us. And how often here do we talk about us being priests, right? The issue is, we are priests, every one of us. The question is, are we a good priest or a bad priest? A good priest is one who follows what the Word says. A bad priest is a priest who, not pay so much attention to what the Word says. This is what I'll say to you. Look what Jesus says here. "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for your grace to us. We ask the Lord, help us with the application of this passage and these other readings. Thank you, Lord, for this glorious thing that, Lord, is called the church, is called the way, is called those who follow you. Thank you, Lord, for your equipping and empowering and the assistance that you give to your church. Help us to own it today, embrace it today, live it today. In Jesus' name, amen. AAA has been around for a long, long time. Over 100 years it's been around. Since 1902, and there really weren't too many cars around in 1902. Most of what AAA did was get maps prepared so people would know which way they're supposed to go if indeed they had a buggy or a car or whatever it is they have. But since 1902, they have been around. The American Automotive Association has been getting people started, putting them on the right path, putting them back on the way that they should go. But the church has been around a lot, lot longer than that. As venerable an institution as AAA is, the church has been around a lot longer than that. And the church has nothing particularly American about it. The church is a worldwide institution. And when I say if you're a member of the church, I am not talking about Oakwood, I'm not talking about here in the state, I'm talking about a member of his church. You are in the special camp. And this stuff that we're going to talk about here applies to you, it belongs to you. Today we're going to talk about the Church of Jesus Christ. It's his church. Now I could back up and say, well, you know what? The Old Testament saints, what about them? You know, the Bible does refer to them as church too. If we look at Acts in chapter 7, this is a part of Stephen's testimony, Acts 7 and 38. He says he was in the church in the wilderness. The ecclesia, or ecclesia, is pronounced a couple of different ways. It's the called out ones. So there was this gathering of people that God had called out in the Old Testament. And so the church was around even longer than 2,000 years ago. It goes back to the time when God first called out Abraham and his people. But the church here, even in Acts, they were given promises. And those promises found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And particularly they found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday. And what I want to submit to you is that Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, was a veritable launching pad for his church. Yeah, the church was there, but his church really launched on Easter Sunday. Last week we sung the great, great Easter hymn from Charles Wesley. Christ the Lord is risen today. One of the lyrics, I think it's the last lyric. Soar we now where Christ has led. Soar we now. Talk about roadside assistance. Talk about getting on the way. Talk about a launching pad for the church. Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was it. His church is of the way, and his church is on the way. When I talk about AAA, I'm talking about the original AAA. The one that we're dealing with here was founded on Easter Sunday. Getting his church started, not the church, they were there, but his church started, getting his church started and keeping it going even unto today. I'm going to submit to you that this roadside assistance, this AAA that we're going to talk about here today, is as valuable to us today as it was when he began his church on Easter Sunday. Where do we see this in the passage? Well, 1 John 20:19, you know, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. This is Easter Sunday. What's taking place in the first part of this passage here is on Easter Sunday, that day, that evening. And what do we see happening here in verse 21? We see that they are given an assignment. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Up until Easter, remember, Jesus was the only one doing the preaching and the teaching and the miracle working. But now, he's going to go away, and they have an assignment. They have the same assignment that he had. They're not to be the Lamb of God and sacrifice themselves on the cross or anything like that, even though we are to be living sacrifices for him. But these guys and gals are going to be those who are going to do preaching and teaching, performing miracles. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. So the first A in our triple A here, this roadside assistance of this church that's got to get going on this launching pad, getting started, or one 2,000 years later who has perhaps broken down along the side of the road. The first A is assignment, remembering your assignment. Secondly, the second A is in verse 22. They received an anointing. He gave them an assignment, but he didn't leave them powerless. He breathed on them, and he commanded them, saying, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And that was bestowed upon them. They received that anointing. So we have assignment, then we have anointing. And then in verse 23, there was this idea of authorization. Who died and put you in charge? Who allows you to speak for Jesus? Well, he did. We're going to get to the Great Commission in a little while, and Jesus ends up saying in that passage, we don't want to turn there now yet, but in Matthew 28, when Jesus gives the Great Commission, he says, "All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore." That's authorization. You've been charged to do it. You've been given the assignment. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it. And you have the authority of God himself behind you. The triple A, which launched the church, the roadside assistance that keeps the church going all through history, is assignment, it is anointing, and it is authorization. All found right here. Getting the church started, keeping it going, requires us to embrace that, to be reminded of that, to live that. Well, here we are, on this Sunday after Easter. This is notoriously the lowest attendance service of the year. You go across any denomination, you go across the churches in the United States, today is the day. Okay? There are a couple other days. The Sunday after Christmas is advised for competition for today in terms of low attendance. See, what happens is everybody comes out on Easter Sunday, right? And then they feel, "Oh, what? I got to back off. This is just too much for me to come 2 weeks in a row." So this is the lowest attendance day on the church calendar, this Sunday here after Easter. And here we are. But there they were. Now again, a week later, when Thomas shows up, there's going to be 11 of them. But here in this passage that we're studying, there's 10. We have more than that here. 10! Just 10! So you know what? It isn't so much about a numbers game. Think about who's there. Judas is gone, right? Thomas isn't there yet. He shows up a week later. And yet still, even with just 10, there is offered this triple A assistance here. Assignment, anointing, and authorization. Later on in this passage, we're going to see how this is reminiscent of the Spirit that we see in Zechariah chapter 4. But for now, I want us to see the similarity of this scene to that which we find in Zechariah. In Zechariah 4, and if we look at verses 9 and 10, the background of this passage is that they're trying to get the church started again. They're rebuilding the church. And you know what? They're looking at this building and they're saying, this is nothing like Solomon's. Look at it. It's just a dump compared to Solomon's temple. It was glorious. It was grand. It was magnificent. It had gold everywhere. And the other passages in the Bible about this temple, people were crying. Not crying for joy, but crying. Look at how pathetic this is. Look how small it is. Look how insignificant it seems. But the promise here is that the hands of Zerubbabel, high priest here, have laid the foundation. You know what? Jesus Christ has laid the foundation for what we've done here. He's laid the foundation. "And the Lord has sent me," is the prophet speaking. "And for those of you who despise the day of small things," maybe you're 10 guys in the room on the night of Easter, maybe you're the handful that's here today and you're saying, "Oh, this is the small potatoes, what can happen here?" But God laid the foundation. "And for those of you who do despise the day of small things, Listen, rejoice. You're going to rejoice because you're going to see the plumb line in the hand of Jesus. Jesus has got that plumb line, that measuring stick here. He's going to measure out all things, and we're working for Him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The work of Jesus Christ by His Spirit is in view here. And He's assigning them the same thing. He's giving them the same promise that He's going to make it glorious. He's going to prosper it, just as He's made that promise to us. Now, thematically, what we see here in John is very, very similar to the Great Commission, as I mentioned. And the Great Commission is ours. It belongs to us. Yeah, I can remember back in the days when I was in seminary, this guy graduating from seminary, a part of his graduation speech was, you know what, I am so glad that this book is here. It's in black and white. I am so glad that God didn't speak to me in my ear or even some still, quiet voice calling me out to the mission field. Why? Because that may have happened to me on one day and be gone the next day, and I will doubt it the next day. But you know what? I have the Great Commission, and the Great Commission is here, and it'll be there tomorrow. And the next day when I'm doubting, it'll be there then. And 10 years from now when I'm doubting, it'll be there then. It's not going to go away. It's for us. We've had this for 2,000 years. And it's as true today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was first written. And what does that Great Commission say? Matthew 28, pick it up at 18. Jesus came and He spoke unto them and He said this, all power. Sorry, David. A better translation is all power. The word is exousia in Greek, not dunamis. Okay, you have a ESV. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye! This sounds like authorization. This sounds like assignment. This sounds like the fact that the Holy Spirit is a part of this work. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Assignment, anointing, authorization. You know, when we come to our reading in Acts in chapter 5, this is on display. This assignment, this anointing, and this authorization. He has authorized them. He gave them the Holy Spirit. And God sent them. Look at Acts 5, verses 27 through 29. Didn't mean they didn't have opposition. Matter of fact, they had charges from the local authorities not to do this stuff. But in fact, they end up filling Jerusalem with their doctrine. And Peter and the other apostles who were with him said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And by the way, if we look at verses 31 and 32, we'll see this. Him, He's the exalted one. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the ruler of the princes of the earth. God's in charge. We are not only His witnesses, but so is the Holy Spirit. Every one of our references today has the Holy Spirit in it. And by the way, we see this little a tidbit at the very end. Whom God has given to them that obey Him. That's pretty instructive for us as well. Want more of the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Raise your hand. Want more of the Holy Spirit? Want more of the Holy Spirit? Don't be snooping around in the inner man. Don't be snooping around in the inner man to find Him and say, come out wherever you are. The Holy Spirit is given unto them who obey Him. And again, remember, what's the setting here in Acts? For 3 years they followed Jesus. Jesus did all the preaching. Jesus did all the teaching. Jesus did all the miracle working. These guys didn't open their mouth hardly that we know of. And now Jesus is gone. He has given them this triple-A assistance here. He's given them the assignment. He has given them the anointing. He has given them the authorization to do this stuff. And they start speaking. And now it's their turn. And they do it. for the first time. And so here we are, even 2,000 years later. You know what? We mortals are given this task. We mortals are to step out and to do the same thing. And just also a fulfillment of a prophecy that Jesus gave. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, there was this hard to figure out. What is Jesus talking about here? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. We have this assignment from him. We have this anointing. We have this authentic authorization from him. And whereas he was the one who went out and did the preaching, he did the teaching, you know what? Now the apostles are doing it. Now we are doing it. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. That's the message of Easter Day. If Oakwood is going to be Oakwood on the way, it will be because of what we do. We're not denying God when we say that. We're totally relying upon the work of the Holy Spirit. But if Oakwood is going to be Oakwood on the way, it's going to be because of what we do. Not simply me, but me and you, all of us. Because we have this same assignment, we have this same anointing, and we have this very same authorization. Our reading from Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 begins telling us this final revelation, the final revelation. And you know what? The final revelation is to the churches. This took places like Oakwood. And it says the seven churches there, but you know what? There were more than seven churches in Asia. Seven of them are listed in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you can read through them. But seven is this symbolic number talking about fullness. It talks about completion. And we know that there's more than seven because the Bible tells us there was more than seven. The church of the Colossians were there in Asia. And by the way, there was a church called the Church of Troas, from which we get the word Troy. Acts chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. Going there, we tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and we came unto them to Troas. Troy. They stayed there in 5 days, and they stayed there 7 days. And this is the passage where it says that they broke bread. And this is the passage where the preacher went on for a really, really long time, and the guy up on the third floor fell off as dead, right? Remember the story? That's in Troy. And so what is happening in Revelation 1 and 4, where John is talking about these seven churches? Didn't Troy count? Of course Troy counted. Seven was the symbolic figure of fullness and completion. And that there were seven spirits there. And what that meant was that the church is in full possession of the Spirit. That means that each one of the churches had all that they needed. We could look around, just like the apostles could have looked around, that, you know, one guy looks at the nine other guys around there and say, it doesn't look like, you know, we have very much going for us here. Every one of the churches has all that they needed. That's the point of seven churches and seven spirits. That's what he's driving at. He's driving at the fact that the Spirit is in every church. There's one Holy Spirit with seven manifestations, a symbolic seven manifestations. And so even today, there's one Holy Spirit. And if there are a million churches in the world, there are some million manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But each church has all it needs, is the point. Look again at Zechariah 4 in verse 2. You see some of this symbolism here of fullness. And even though the Holy Spirit is one, there are these different manifestations. And seven is like this fullness. You know, there's seven lamps. There's seven pipes going out. If we look at the same chapter in verse 6, we see that this is accomplished by the Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Oakwood is but one delivery system. And yet Oakwood is fully equipped. Oakwood is fully equipped to do what God calls us to do. And we are assigned. And we are anointed. And we do have authorization to do this stuff. You know, in Sunday school, we have some tense conversations about how we interact with the world and the opposition in the world. We are assigned to do that. We're anointed to do that. And we have the authorization to do that. In Revelation 1 and 6, how are we described? As a kingdom of priests. His representatives. Ministering the word of God. And you can read the book of Malachi. And yes, priests are to minister grace, but priests ought to know the law. That was the whole message in Malachi. The priests had put the law away. They subverted the law. But we're a kingdom of priests. You know, when Jesus sat down with those 12 apostles, I don't have this on our screen here, but he sat down at the Last Supper with the apostles, and he said, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, that you will rule and reign." Wow. That's who we are. And of course, we're going to have opposition, just like they had opposition in Acts in chapter 5. And just like the Jews, the 10 guys, were hidden in that room with the doors locked for fear of the Jews because they had opposition. That's no surprise. Of course we're going to have opposition. Look at verse 7 of Revelation 1 and verse 7 here. The whole world is going to wail because of this. Doesn't sound like they're going to be happy about this message that these priests are going to be delivering to them. And if you read the book of Revelation, it's not a pretty picture. It's glorious. But it's not a pretty picture for the unbeliever. So my charge to you today on this first Sunday after Easter is don't forget your assignment. This is God's roadside assistance. Okay, maybe for us. Right? It's for you individually, but it's for us as a church. Are we broken down? He started us up. There was that launch pad, Easter Sunday. Well, here we are. His roadside assistance to us is don't forget your assignment. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Don't forget your anointing. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Don't forget your authorization. Those whose sins you remit, they are remitted. Those you retain, they are retained. This is no different than what Ezekiel preached about, right? When God told Ezekiel, he said, "Preach to the people. Tell them the truth. If you fail to tell them the truth and I judge them, their blood is going to be on your head. But tell them the truth." By the way, we stand in Psalm 149 here. I want us to rehearse verses 6 through 9 here. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. This is where we sit on our beds. The psalmist talks about this warm, cushy, cozy, Gnostic individual worship that we have. We love the Word of God. We love to sing it. But there's another use for this book. We have this two-edged sword is in our hand. And yes, it's to worship God, but it's also to execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishment upon the people, binding even their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron. That means you can do this, you can't do that. To execute upon them the judgments written. That's
important is not our personal opinions. I'm going to say that again. It's not our personal opinions. Execute upon them what God says. And oh, what a glorious statement this is. This honor have all the saints. This is your honor as one of his priests. This is your honor to go tell somebody the truth and have them tear your head off. I was watching a program last night where this guy, they're building a new monastery in Europe, and they're trying to revive some of the, they're trying to save Christendom from the onslaught of Islam. And it's named after, it's dedicated to this saint of old, and I forget the guy's name, but you know what? The guy stood up to an earlier onslaught of the Muslims, and they skinned him alive. Until, of course, he died. This honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. It was at this point that I was going to tell you the story of climbing back that I quoted this morning here. We live in a culture where the opposition insists that we participate. Whatever you think of Lot, even Lot did not participate. Even Lot did not participate. And of course they viewed him as judgmental. They insist that we participate, but no, we must be like those apostles. Let's look here at Acts chapter 5 again and verse 29. In the face of opposition, what did they say? We ought to obey God rather than men. Oakwood remains on the way. What does that mean? Being on the way means we're following Jesus. Being on the way means we haven't arrived yet. We must have a posture of humility. We must be humble. We must be obedient. We must be committed to those who are making progress. And we don't know everything. But we do know him. And much of what I said here today has to deal with and do with the church. The omelet. Who we are as a corporate entity. But you know what? You don't have an omelet without any eggs. And so this applies to every single one of us, to me and you and you and you and you and you, all of us. And we don't know everything, but we do know him. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the assistance that you give to us. The assistance, Lord, that you gave that church that needed to be started up. And the assistance that you always give to all the churches along the way. And the assistance, Lord, is always the same. Assignment and anointing and an authorization that is to be embraced. Father, thank you that we can commit all of this to you. As we step forward in faith, as we step forward on the way. In Jesus' name, amen.